Good morning, once again, Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church. I want you to grab your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Last week, with our kickoff into the series on Colossians, we will be looking at verses 3 through 5a. And you might have never heard someone say A after a verse like 3 through 5a. What does that mean? The A means the beginning part of the verse. And you might notice that the ESV puts a period where probably another translation puts a comma if anything. So if you're following along in your copy of God's Word, it's like, hey, that sentence keeps going. There's a reason. I don't have an opinion on which grammatical punctuation would be more appropriate. However, as we go through the letter to the Colossians, section by section, verse by verse, we're going to start in verse 1, or this reading of this section, and we will read all the way to verse 8. So as we consider particular sections of the letter, we of course will consider the surrounding text as well. So you can follow along with me as I read God's Word, or you can follow along on the screen if you desire, Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And I want you to hear now the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we open up your word this morning, let us be fed with spiritual meat. May those who are new in the faith find the spiritual milk that is there as well. But let us grow and mature in the faith. Let us grow in the knowledge of you in your word. May we grow in desiring that which pleases you, O God. And may we have Christ at the forefront. And in Christ's name we say, amen. So before the Apostle Paul wrote his prison epistles, which includes Colossians, he wrote 1 Thessalonians. And contained within this letter to the church in Thessalonica, God's word says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This surely is talk about giving thanks both in season and out of season, when it is easy and when it is hard for us to do. And it is here in Colossians that circumstances made giving thanks to the Lord easy for Paul. And as we look at God's word this morning, I've broken down the sermon to try to follow the flow of the text. We will first consider Paul's thankful prayer, and then we will consider why he is giving the Lord thanks for the faithful and saint-loving Colossians. Your Bible might give this section the subheading of thanksgiving and prayer. A commentary I'm using labels verses 3 through 8, Paul's thanksgiving for the Colossians. In short, we will consider the beginning of Paul's thankful prayer for the faithful and saint-loving Colossians. After introducing himself and Timothy, and after he greets them with the comforting words of grace and peace from God our Father, he tells the Colossians that we always thank God. He launches into telling the faithful congregation there that he and Timothy are always thanking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is very much following the model of prayer laid out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, our Father in heaven. He communicates so much in these five words that we should appreciate it. He already said that God is our Father, Now it is the Our Father is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who is the only begotten Son. He is not the Son of God by way of adoption like us, though. Paul gives us more about the identity of Christ. He calls him Lord, which is a title that we see in the Old Testament that refers to God. To call Jesus Lord is to refer to his authority and supremacy over all things, that Jesus is over all. The name Jesus itself has significance when you find that it's Hebrew origins. Joshua or Yeshua means that Yahweh saves. Our Almighty God has saved us through his Messiah, the Anointed One, in the Latin Christos, otherwise known as Christ. All of that language to me is so important. I hope it is for you. It's important for what is to come. He is laying out a foundation of unity. And this is what we share in common. This is what we all believe. And hear me when I say that when I thank God, I am thanking our God, the God who is in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Paul then explains that he and Timothy give thanks to God when we pray for you. Meaning, when they prayed for the Colossians. The King James takes the word always from the beginning of the verse and places it here, praying always. This is not an isolated prayer. A one-off prayer, never to be thought of again. But with saying always, we are understanding, are to understand that this is a repetitive action. So always when Paul and Timothy are praying, they always express to God their thankfulness for the Colossians. Paul wants to communicate the nature of his thankfulness was one that was continuous and one that was brought to the Lord in prayer. Let us consider our own prayers and our practice of it, our practicing the discipline of prayer. It certainly is a discipline in the sense that it is an activity that one is to engage in regularly. It is an activity that all are called to do. Luke 18:1 tells us that Jesus taught his disciples they ought always to pray. Let me ask you, do you pray? Do you pray? Do you go to the Lord in prayer? Now, some might be thinking that is a weird question to ask because you believe that all Christians are praying. This is, of course, that it is an afterthought. Let me say that there are some who don't pray, that they don't practice the discipline of prayer, that in of itself is not a priority, is an afterthought. They might struggle with it. Maybe that's you here today, and this is the wake-up call to be a man or woman of prayer. You might be wondering, well, so what is prayer, you might ask? A succinct and comprehensive answer that I didn't come up with, but previous Baptists from the past, from 1695. Prayer is an offering up our desires to God by the assistance of the Holy Spirit for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, believing with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgments of his mercies. It's that last bit, the thankful acknowledgments of his mercies that is on display before us in this section of Colossians. Here is the Apostle Paul telling others about his prayer life, his and Timothy's prayer life, and who he is thankful for. And from his practice, we understand that we are to direct our prayers, our thankfulness, to he who is the author, the originator of the blessing. When someone has given you a gift, it is proper and correct to express our thankfulness for it. We train our kids to say thank you. It makes sense that we are to direct our thankfulness to he who is the creator of all things. All the true blessings we have received originate from God. Paul and Timothy rightly give thanks to God because of the Colossians, because they were a blessing to them. Let us be ready to give thanks to God for his many blessings. If I might add, if we struggle to do this, and if we are not thankful, the response is still the same. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer about that. Ask the Lord, rekindle my thankfulness. Ask the Lord to give you the ability to ponder anew what Christ has done on the cross for your sins. And watch it break open the dam preventing you from being like Paul and expressing gratitude. When we receive mercy from the Lord, let our response be expressing gratitude to God. Take the time to give thanks to the Lord, not just because he is Lord, but also because he is the one that has given them to you. Paul was no stranger in giving thanks to the Lord for things, nor was he a stranger in telling people that he was giving thanks to the Lord because of them. And one of the commentaries I read regarding this pointed out how much of an encouragement it is for you to express your thankfulness to fellow believers. I mean, can you imagine what the Colossian church must have been thinking that one of the apostles of Jesus Christ was thankful for them? Wait a minute, we're on his radar? He's thankful for us. Wouldn't that have been an encouragement for the faithful saints and brethren? We must be doing something right. Is it not an encouragement for you when brothers and sisters in Christ tell you that they are praying and offering thanks to God for you? It ought to be, if it's not. I know certainly it has been for me. It was very important to me when I saw David Mark Grabowski a couple years ago. He was here for Hans's anniversary to tell him how thankful I was for his impact on my life when he was my youth pastor. He, like me, gets awkward when there's compliments. We don't know what to say when it comes to compliments, but even so, it is an encouragement. And as we seek to be an encouragement to the church body, let us not shy away in telling people that we thank the Lord for them. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. I thank the Lord for the children the Lord has blessed your family with. I thank the Lord for the new faces I see. I thank the Lord for the old faces I see. I thank the Lord for the different people that volunteer their time and efforts for the sake of the church and for our gospel mission. We should all be giving thanks for all these things. So let us express our thankfulness for one another, both to God and to each other. Don't hide behind the notion that you don't want to puff them up, because let me tell you, when that is an issue, it is most often they who need to do the work. Work on being humble and recognizing that they should be saying, "Praise the Lord," instead, "Praise me." We are not to be so afraid about puffing up and causing people to have an ego that we miss the encouragement that could happen in truly expressing our thankfulness. Let us be willing to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord by telling them the truth. The truth includes how thankful we are for them. We move to the next couple of verses, and we are told with much more specificity why Paul and Timothy are thanking God in their prayers for them. God's word tells us that they have been doing so since we, that's they, Paul and Timothy, heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. There's no evidence that the Apostle Paul had ever been to the city of Colossae. Other churches he had hands-on parts in their development. He went to a city, preached the gospel, many professed faith in Christ and were baptized, helped in the formation of a church body, moved on to the next city. That is not so for the Colossians. So he had to rely on reports that were given to him. His knowledge relied on what men like Epaphras, who made known to Paul the Colossians' love in the Spirit. And this is a practice that churches still do amongst each other. In a previous local association I was in, part of what we agreed to do on a quarterly basis was to write church update letters. Talk about briefly what the church is doing. What you are looking forward to. Things that we ought to be praying about. And that is a practice I hope to revive around these parts. We also do it ourselves when it comes to missionaries. None of us have ever been to Peyton's house, Italiabo. I think I could be confident in saying that. We rely on reports from the Downing family regarding kingdom work going on over there. Now, a couple of us have been to Tanzania. But still, the majority of us rely on reports. These are a few examples of us hearing that which others make known to us. And from the reports Paul receives, he thanks God for their faith in Christ Jesus. I want you to keep in mind that was Paul's mention of faith, which one brother in the Lord recently reminded me that its faith is classically defined as knowledge, assent, a trust. So with Paul's mentioning of faith in Christ Jesus, we will see how much that will play a role in this letter to come. Okay? You see, in Colossae, there were people who were advocating for things that was against the sufficiency of Christ for our salvation alone. Colossians 2 has this whole section about letting no one pass judgment on you. Let no one disqualify you. Talking about feast days and so forth. That you need to do the feast days. So it's faith in Christ Jesus plus feast days. That's your salvation. Paul here in verse 3 is reminding them that their faith is in Christ Jesus. And that Christ Jesus is enough. Which when such faith is found and evident, we ought to give God praise for it. Not just praising God for the heard about faith. They also heard about the love they had for all the saints. Paul already referred to the Colossians as saints and faithful brothers in verse 2. What was reported back was how much love they had for each other. How that is made known not just by word, but also by deed. It must have been such an example of the love the body is to have for one another that it warranted to be included in the report to Paul. You won't believe what the Colossians are doing next. A church body doing the love one another command well is worthy of thanking God for. We see descriptions of church bodies taking care of the widows, providing for those who are in need, feeding the hungry, sharing a meal together, singing together, praying for one another, and so on. So Paul gives thanks in his prayers for the Colossians because he heard of their faith and their love. And the two of those things have at the heart of it the hope laid up for them in heaven. We see in many of Paul's letters the mention of these three things together, faith, hope, and love. He tells the church in Corinth to abide in these three things in his first letter to them. Paul believes these things play an important role in the Christian life, and it is hope in our heavenly inheritance which is the basis for our faith and love. Now, this hope is not wishful thinking, which is often how some use it. Nor is it a desire for something that may or may not happen, like you hope that your favorite team makes it to the playoffs. Instead, the hope that Paul is referring to is that which is certain, but not fully manifested, not yet fully experienced. Brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in historical fact. The tomb being empty is not wishful thinking. It is historical fact that the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is empty. You're not believing in a mere toss of a coin, but in the true word that truly Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Lamb slain, that he rose again on the third day, he ascended to heaven and will come again. That day did not arrive in the lifetime of Paul or the Colossians, and it has not arrived yet as we gather here today. Yet still our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let me exhort you today, do not lose hope. There are days where we can say a hearty amen. Our hope is in Christ, amen. And there are days for some of us, it is a faint whisper. I'm struggling, Pastor. Our sin can often give us gospel amnesia, causing us to forget the hope found in Christ. Sin is waiting like a lion waiting to devour you, and it wants you to forget the gospel truth that the Lord has the power to shut up the lion's mouth. When people use this phrase, hope in Christ, hope of what's called like a full salvation, that is a reference to all the parts of salvation, which we usually describe as justification, sanctification, and glorification. And as certain as Christ's hands were nailed and feet were pierced on the cross, we have been justified through his sacrifice. We are saved through Christ in our sanctification, our being molded into Christ's likeness, it is a comfort that God is completing the good work that he started in you, which shall be completed, fully done in glorification. Do not lose hope, Christian. If you have, bring that to the Lord in prayer. Go, Lord, I have lost hope. May you restore it in me. And may you remember that solid foundation. May the Lord remind you upon which rock you stand and have hope return. Remember that it has been laid up for you. Thanks be to Christ. May we as a church body be known for our faith in Christ Jesus, our love for one another, and for our hope in the Lord. It ought to be desired that when people think of us, both as individuals and as a corporate body, all of us that make up Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, that people give thanks to God. That's our desire. Does it work out that way sometimes? No, it doesn't, but that's our desire. When people tell others about our church body, we hope that it is known that for us, Christ is at the center. Let us also give thanks to God when we see people who live with the hope in the Lord driving them. Let us give thanks when the people of God all around the world express their love for the brethren. And last but not least, let us give thanks to God when we hear of others' faith in Christ Jesus. We ought to be filled with joy when the family of God grows. When one comes to Christ, it is worthy for us to give thanks to God. Christ's blood is sufficient, and for that we ought to be able to say, amen. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we consider this brief passage, may it stir in us a desire to go, Lord, May we hold on to the fact that all our hope is in Jesus Christ. May you remind us of the gospel promises fulfilled through the blood of the Lamb slain for us. And may we strive to love one another in season and out of season, when it is difficult to explain biblical truth and gospel truth, and when it is easy. Let's be the family of God pursuing faith, love, and hope, and have Christ be our cornerstone in the pursuit. And in Christ's name we say, amen.